calls us to worship, and I just hope you were sensing the Spirit as we were singing and thinking about the words and just letting God's presence be with you. It makes a difference. It really does. And I really appreciate all our praise teams because it just lifts me up before I get up here. And so I thank you, all of you that participate in that. Today, we're traveling through the book of Genesis, and kind of that's neat. Harry's on starting in Genesis. They read the Bible every year, right? And that's a good practice. They do it together and they pray together. And so, what a way to have a marriage and a home and to remind ourselves that all the Scripture is so valuable. So we're starting in Genesis, and maybe we won't take the whole Bible this year, but it'll take a little longer, I think, at the rate I go anyway. Our story begins with two brothers who you always have in the Bible that a friend is close, but there's always a chance for contention among brothers. No brothers ever had any contention, did they? I don't know. But anyway, a brother's made for contention, I think, is what a friend is near, but a brother's made for contention, the way Proverbs puts it. But here, two brothers And as an act of worship, each of them came and brought their gifts to God. It says in chapter 4 of Genesis, and Adam knew his wife, Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and she said, I have gotten me a man from the Lord. What an exciting thing to have a child come into our lives, and this would have been the first birth that ever was experienced, and that must have some wonder and uniqueness about it. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you're a farmer or a rancher, aren't you? One or the other. Or some of us do both. But some of us like to be known as ranchers, and some of us may like to be known as farmers. But either way, they had two different occupations. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground to offer unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering, but to Cain and his offering he had not respect. You wonder what the difference is. To us, maybe we don't see a difference, but you wonder, here you bring one offering and here you bring the other, and one is received and accepted and appreciated, and the other, not so much. Some have thought that maybe because Adam and Eve, the first offering that was made actually was for Adam and Eve to have when they were naked. They kind of tried to cover up with some fig leaves. That didn't work too well. They were embarrassed and they hid from God. And God made them coats of skins. So the first sacrifice was to cover up the nakedness or the sinfulness of the people of Adam and Eve, and that would have to have been the first sacrifice because it'd be hard to have an animal without a skin. And so apparently God brought these coverings for Adam and Eve. And so some have assumed that Cain and Abel knew the kind of sacrifices that were more acceptable, especially for sin, because an animal sacrifice, a grain sacrifice, would not have been acceptable for sin. I don't know about that, but we can see by Cain's reaction that something wasn't right with his heart. Because as soon as, and sometimes we get that way with God, don't we? How do we react to things of disappointment with God? Cain, it says he was not just angry, It says extremely. He was very wroth, very angry. And so angry that his countenance fell. He was discouraged and angry. Angry at God. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? Sometimes as Christians we go and mope around. And yet, look at all we have in Christ. Look at all we have. We have eternal life. We have a hope beyond compare. We have the joy and peace that is offered from God. Now, some Christians don't receive all that, but because they won't let themselves receive it. But it's all there. We have the promise of eternity, and we go moping around why do we do that? Anyway, God asked Cain, why is your countenance fallen? And he said, and here's something that we can remember as Christians. If you do well. I was telling the young people today that sometimes I was talking about love. And what if you don't feel love at a certain time? What do you do? How do you remedy that? How do you, I don't feel like praying today. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like being considerate when somebody else is not. I don't feel like forgiving. And what I said was, well, first you repent of those feelings, but then you go and do the right thing. Just because your mom didn't feel like getting up and diapering you in the morning, did she do it? Why? Because her love went beyond the feelings. And in a marriage, in a home, in every aspect of life, our love has to go beyond to do the right thing. Even when we don't quite feel the right things. And the feelings will follow. But at any rate, he says, you will be accepted, but watch out. Because if you're angry, if your countenance is fallen, if you're living in that anger, he says, sin lies at the door. And just remember that bitterness, that's another thing I was telling the kids, that if you let bitterness come into your life, it will eat you alive. It will taint. It will destroy. Even the good things you may enjoy will be destroyed by that bitterness. It has to be rooted out. We had a type of grass down in Alabama and Florida that was called Johnson grass. And it had roots that just went and went and went. And what you would have to do is not only when you pulled the root, it'd break off, and that'd be another grass that would grow. And one guy, he liked to pick on us a little bit. He said, well, get some hogs and they'll root it all out and eat it up and you won't have the Johnson grass anymore. But at any rate, it had to be rooted out. Bitterness, anger, hatred has to be rooted out all the way to the smallest, tiniest root, because if not, it will grow and eat in your life. The people that you're angry with, they're not upset. They're going on with their life. But you carry the burden if you're still bitter and angry. So what was the difference between we see the difference in the way they did. In fact, it got so angry. Cain got so angry, and that anger boiled over. Abel hadn't done anything to him, did he? No, not that we know of. And his anger eat and worked so much so that he went and his jealousy, his anger overflowed. And he, when they were in the field talking, he killed his brother. In fact, he lied about, am I my brother's keeper? Where is Abel, your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? All of this is so rich in thought and ideas and how we need to respond to situations. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? What was the difference that separated even their offering way back. Because, see, these things don't just happen. There are things that lead up to and build into and result. Let's look at Hebrews and see if we can find a clue as to what was wrong with Cain's offering. It says in chapter 11, the faith chapter of Hebrews, it says in 11 verse 4, by faith. Okay? Faith isn't just knowing there's a God. Faith is believing in God. Faith is putting your confidence and trust in God. So it isn't just having a belief that there is a God, because the devils believe and tremble, but you have to have a faith that lives out or lives in you, that follows through. And so by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Cain, while he knew there was a God, he didn't have his confidence, trust, appreciation, love. In other words, he was doing his offering maybe out of more of a sense of duty than of a sense of response to God's love or God's person or honoring God. He was doing it because he wanted something out of it, maybe, but it was not the faith that was supposed to be there. If we look also in the New Testament, in 1 John, we find another kind of explanation of the why Cain's offering was not accepted. John, 1 John chapter 2, we find the kind of response we should have to God and what it is if we don't have that response. Chapter 2, verse 9, and it says, And he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. If you say you know God and yet hate someone, you're in darkness. He that loveth his brother abides in light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Whenever we have hatred and carry it in our hearts, there is many occasions for us to stumble and fall and hurt others. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knows not whither he goes. He is in darkness, or because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Whenever we don't have the proper attitude toward others, it blinds us. It keeps us from seeing clearly and doing the right thing. If we look down to chapter 3, we find the specific about Cain. And it says in there in verse 11, it says, for this is the message we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then it says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Adam and Eve had a choice. They raised their children, and yet Cain apparently chose the dark way or the dark side of things with the wicked one that was tempting him. And he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? You know, when you're doing wrong, you have a envy, hatred, jealousy of those that are doing right. Why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. So there is some kind of key or clue on why Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was not. Now, as we think about this, I want to dispel one of the fallacies that often comes into play, and that is that any worship that we do, or the most important thing in worship that we do, is based on sincerity. In other words, the more the sincere you are, the better your worship is. If that were the case, the Islamists would have us beat by miles, because they definitely believe in what they're doing. They are. You watch me strap a belt onto me, it's going to blow me and everybody else up. Or you watch me go out and kill and maim innocent people like that. They definitely believe and they are sincere. You be the brother of a sister that you murder in a honor killing. They believe in what they believe in. Sincerity is important, obviously, but what is it that makes our worship acceptable? When we worship, it's very important that we're worshiping in a way that is acceptable. Otherwise, all the things we do are in vain. Again, in our children's class, we have a great time in there. Anyone who wants to join us, you can come on. We'll just throw you in with a bunch because those are smart kids. You won't find they're really on top of things. But if I am a good preacher and speak with a silvery tongue and have the ability to persuade crowds, which I don't, but if I did but didn't have what? Love. It's just noise. If I have all the faith I would like to have, if I have all the knowledge I would, oh man, I'd love to have more knowledge. I'd love to understand the mysteries of God better. But if I had all that and didn't have love, it would be meaningless too. If I took and gave up everything, sometimes we sing that song. There's a song in the hymn book that talks about our sacrifice and we've done this and I've done that. But if I don't have love, it's meaningless. So When we're talking about acceptable worship, we want to not just love God the way we want to love Him. We want to love Him the way He wants us to love Him. You know, if you like beans and I give you corn and you hate corn, even though I might be doing a good act of giving you beans, that might not be your best way of being loved. Or whatever you like. If you like football and I take you to the opera as a friendly gesture, Tim, I'm going to take you to the opera and you'd rather watch something else or do something else, I'm not very much of a friend, am I? I wasn't paying attention to what you wanted. I wasn't paying attention to what you cared about. Husbands, remember this when I bought Vangio's chainsaw one time. For our anniversary, it was not a good thing. It wasn't what made her feel loved. Well, what about God? Does He have a right to want to be loved the way He wants to be loved? Yes. In fact, Israel failed so miserably in their loving of God and responding to God. God had given them everything. He brought them out of Egypt. He delivered them from the Egyptians with great miracles. They crossed the Red Sea. He gave them the Promised Land. And how did they, at some point later on in their lives in Isaiah, we find that they had lost something. They had given up something. In fact, if you look at the in Israel, all the things that they had to do, all the laws they had to keep, I mean, it was just like law after law after law, sacrifice after sacrifice, feast day and new moons and all the things that they did. And yet this is the way God felt about it. Chapter 1 verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Now, you know, when you attach that label to somebody, you're attaching a pretty, I mean, you know, that's just about as good a slam as you can give somebody. Ye rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Den of homosexuality and abuse and all things like that. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? They were giving sacrifices left and right every day and all day and all over the place. They were giving, what is the purpose of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings. I don't want any more. I'm stuffed. You're just wearing me out with this. And of your fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks and lambs and of he-goats. And when you come to appear before me, who hath required this? They were supposed to appear before the Lord three times in a year. with the holy days. Who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? In other words, why are you on my steps? Why are you at my door? Bring me no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. This sweet savor, the sweet smell of their incense was just a stink in his nose. Your new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with them. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, they would worship, spreading out their hands before the Lord, or like this, before the Lord. I will hide my eyes from you. It does matter to God what our worship, what kind of worship we do. When you make many prayers, long prayers, maybe fervent prayers, maybe intense prayers, I will not hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. You're guilty. You have done things that are wrong before me. Wash you. Whenever we find ourselves where our prayers don't seem to get any higher than the ceiling, when our heart is filled with anger and bitterness and confusion, what should we do? What is the answer? Wash you, make you clean, put away evil out of your doings, from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. He's listing things that we should be thinking about. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now. God is calling us. Even today, he says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. You know, everyone has the opportunity to come back to God. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse, and I would say continue to refuse and rebel, you should be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What kind of worship? Number one, your life has to be a certain way before your worship is accepted. If you come before the altar and bring your gift, and there remember that something, someone or even God has something against you, lay down your gift. Go and make it right. Do what's right. Go and make it right. And then come back and bring your gift, Jesus says. Obedience is important. Let's turn to that verse in Samuel. I'm just out of time and I just started. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. But anyhow, I'll try to get a few more passages in here before we're done. But if you look at 1 Samuel, this is such a critical, important thing whenever we talk about worshiping God. And don't get me, we are here to worship. Hearing the sermon is important, but you are here to worship. You are here to look to God, to honor Him, to sing your praises, to lift up your voice and be touched. By God, His Holy Spirit, He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God is here, and you can be touched. You can receive that blessing from God as we come together and worship. But remember that God has a specific manner and way He wants us to worship. In fact, He says in 1 Samuel, King Saul had done something. He had actually made the sacrifice, and he wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be for the prophet, or no, for the priest. And it says in verse 22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice. In fact, I think sometimes our sacrifice and offerings, the gifts we give in money and the things we do in sacrifice to God, sometimes do they replace the real gift that God wants? Sometimes we do those things as a kind of... let me give you an example. Sometimes we will give our kids gifts instead of giving them our time and our heart. Sometimes we will do something for somebody because we should have done this or could have done that, and we'll do it as a substitute. Most of us don't want the substitute. Neither does God. They were giving their gifts. He was making his sacrifice, but God didn't want the substitute. He wanted them. He wanted their heart. God does not take substitutes. And you can give all the money you want, and you can go to church as regular as you want. You cannot eat or eat whatever you want, but if you haven't given God your heart, you haven't given him anything. He says, Samuel says, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken or listen to the words of God is better than the fat of rams that they were offering. For otherwise, in fact, I think this next verse is so critical, for otherwise it's rebellion. If you can't give God your heart, you're actually rebelling against God. For rebellion is as the sin of devil worship or witchcraft, and stubbornness as the iniquity of idolatry. Just the same as you would bow down before an idol, your stubbornness against God, your for refusing to give your heart because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. I want to do what I want to do because you have rejected the Lord your God. He is also, talking to Saul, rejected you from being king. Acceptable worship. In fact, what we have to do, what it said in Isaiah, and what it says in whenever David realized his sin. Let's look at that in chapter 51 of Psalms there. What David's sin of repentance is. You know, there's a way back. There's a way, if we find ourselves away, there's a way back. It says here chapter 51 or Psalm 51 verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and O my Lord shall and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou desirest not burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Broken before God. A broken and a contrite heart wilt thou not despise, O Lord. God will not despise that broken. This is the part that Cain missed. It was a faith in God, a confidence in God. It was a brokenness before God. It was a willingness to obey what God said. Let's do one more verse in the New Testament, two more verses in the New Testament, and we'll call this a day. Look with me to John. What is it that God really wants? What kind of sacrifice is acceptable to him? Chapter 4 of John, verse 21. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me. This was a woman come to Jesus and wanted to, he told her some things about herself she didn't know, or she knew, but he didn't know. And she said he was a prophet, and so she asked the question, well, where should we worship? I mean, maybe we would ask that question, or somebody would ask us, well, where should we worship? Should it be in Alfred, or should it be in somewhere else. Yeah, I don't know if that's comparable, but anyway, what he said to her, "Woman, believe me that the hour cometh when neither in this mountain," one place, "nor in Jerusalem, nor yet at Jerusalem, you'll worship the Father." You worship, now some people, this is an interesting thing, because some people don't have the concept of worship right. They are on the wrong track. Not sincerity, it's something that you have to do the way God wants it. You worship, you don't even know what. And some are like that. They're off base, off beat, out of the park. Anyway, you worship, you know what, know not what, for salvation at that time is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers of God shall worship God in spirit and in truth. It's not enough just to have the sincerity or what we call the spirit alone. Because you can be flailing and doing all kinds of stuff, and you're off base. You're not on target. The true worship, if you're really worshiping God, then what God wants matters. What He says matters. How He wants us to worship matters. But it also is said, over here, we'll just kind of use two sides. Over here is the Spirit. Over here is the truth. And what we need to do is bring them together, both in our heart and our mind and in the Scripture and in obedience. That's what worship is, and that's what God is looking for. And so many times we just want to worship Him the way we want to worship Him. If we're really concerned about God, then we will worship Him the way He wants to be worshipped, in spirit and in truth. For, look at what the next verse says. God is a spirit, and they, the next part of that verse, worship in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. He is looking for, not for His benefit, but for your benefit. Because He knows that the only way we humans can make it is by having a God that is almighty and the God of the Bible and worshiping Him. It's for our benefit, really. It's His love. The God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Finally, one more verse. Because you can do this all, but it all still comes down to chapter 12 of Romans. Or this is one of the things that has to be an ingredient. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of His great mercy." This is something that Cain did not know, or chose not to know. Because of God's mercy, because of His forgiveness and love, because of His giving His Son to die on the cross, because of my mercies, by the mercy of God, present your bodies, everything you are, everything you have. God does not take second place. Did you know that? Second place is idolatry, because you have another God before Him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, everything that you are, everything you have, devoted to God, which holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. In the King James, it says service. But in other versions, this word is the word for worship. It is your reasonable act of worship. What kind of worship is acceptable to God? Any other worship isn't worship, I'm sorry. It has to be you. Your heart, your mind, your love. For the one true God. That's the only way it works. And I just pray that every one of us could grow or become or find that true worship where we give God everything. a living sacrifice. Of course, he goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We talked about that a while back. But giving God my everything. I think we're going to sing a song that isn't listed there. And I don't know the number. I hope it's in the book. I surrender all. And as you're doing this, maybe God is talking to you. Is there something in my life that I have not surrendered? Number 371. Is there something in my life that I know isn't right? God said, come now, let us reason together. Let us come together and talk about this. I surrender all. If there's something, maybe today is your day to surrender that thing that could be a secret sin. Could be something that you just haven't dealt with. But today might be your day to surrender all. Let's think about that as we sing. 371.